Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The war started and some people don't get the message. They're kidnapping some of our workers, right? Because, you know, they're involved with a certain person that, you know, we're politicking, making calls like, hey, that's this, our manager. We need right. him. You need to let him go. Like, whatever it is that was the problem, mm-hmm. like, we could work it out later. Those, like, situations every day, like, the stress was like...
During those wars... The only people who died are innocent, the soldiers. Mm-hmm. You know, those bosses ain't going over there doing nothing.
Right.
And I tell you, man, that's the saddest part about this, that you know, at the end, they fix it with a handshake.
I just go back to business.
And what about all the people that died?
Yeah.
Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
And I'm Charlie Webster.
And this is Surviving El Chapo, the twins who brought down the drug lord. I've seen some wild stuff in the strip club, but nothing this crazy.
You know what they say? Nothing good ever happens after midnight. In the early hours of the morning, Pete, Jay, Viviana, and Val were entertaining associates at a strip club in the island getaway of Punta Mita. But there was something about the dude looking over at them from the bar that didn't feel right.
I remember my brother telling me a couple of times, there's a dude by the bar and he just keeps staring over here. And man, look at all the ass and tits around here and he's staring this way. I was like, kind of like, I'm already not feeling good.
Something about that dude was oddly familiar to Pete.
And he kind of like looks over his shoulder at me. And I look and it's this fucking agent. I recognized him as the same agent who knocked on my door and extorted me for the money. It happened so fast that by the time I get up and look at him, like I'm trying to get a better glimpse at him, he was gone.
The last time you saw him was?
The last time I saw him was on my wedding day. I mean, I'll never forget him. He was like, me and him are staring at each other. And I remember by the time I'm trying to tell my brother, hey, listen, the agent's there. You know, I'm getting up. I'm like, the agent's there. To me, it happened so fast that by the time I did that, I didn't even notice that there was like fucking 40 men they're just standing around. I didn't notice that. And before I could even think of anything else, they had their guns out.
No matter how many times you get a gun pointed at you, you still always think, is this it for me?
I'm thinking, when the fuck did they come in with a bunch of machine guns? And now they're like, they're making a racket. They're like, everybody, you know, they pull their guns out, and now you hear like the movies. Your bottles breaking and people are running and screaming. They come down there. And they're like, don't fucking move, you know? And I'm telling everybody, just chill. Like, and they're like getting everybody on the floor. They're laying everybody down. And he's putting the gun in the back of my neck. And he's like, get on the fucking floor. And I can't lay down. Put your hands behind your back. And everyone. And there's so many. Like, they could all come and they're handcuffing us. Right in the middle of a stupid strip club. Everyone's yelling and screaming. Just so chaotic, you know. I can't tell you exactly what was going on. It was like rapid, like a lot of movement. You know, they're trying to rush us out, like, get out, you know, everyone leave. Like, there's so many of them that they could, like, rush us out. What got me scared was even more was that when I came out, I seen a fucking row of SUVs, like, just random SUVs, Suburban, Cherokees, Tahoes, like, with no plates. I'm just like, what the fuck did we do?
The commotion, where the strippers and everybody were turning tables over, because it was like maybe 14 armed men with ski masks coming with guns in the air, like, everybody on the floor, everybody on the floor. But before I even tried to move, they already had a gun to my head, like, don't move, don't move. We were all thinking, oh my God, there's a big war at that time with the rival cartels. They threw us on the floor right away, put handcuffs on us. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? We still don't know. They just literally pick us up, like, in a hurry. They're in a rush. Guns to their head, they got, like, come on, come on, like, screaming, commotion. They usher us out. When I look outside, I see that there's a bunch of Suburbans and they have lights on. Police lights, you know, the strobe lights. They take me, my brother, and Val. They kind of push us into the Suburban, you know, still holding a gun to my back, still holding a gun to my brother, like, and they're in ski masks. When I touched the truck, I could feel the truck. I know it's a bulletproof truck. So that got me a little bit more nervous. The metal was just heavy, and I could tell just like jumping in, like, I'm jumping on a bulletproof truck. The door's open so you could see the glass. You know, that got me a little bit like, okay, there's a chance that this could be the government.
Pete, Jay, and Val were dragged out of the club and thrown into dark, bulletproof SUVs. But there was someone missing. Viviana.
You know, I didn't know, like, what was going to happen. I mean, when everyone was on the floor and guns were at everyone's head. Luckily, the stripper, she took me by the arm and she like ran me in the back with all the other ladies there. They were telling me to be quiet. They're like, be quiet, be quiet. I don't want them to hear you. I don't want them to hear you, because I was already panicking and crying and I didn't know what was gonna happen. For sure, the first thing that came to my head that they were gonna shoot up the whole club. That was like no doubt in my mind that that was gonna happen. The girls, they were devastated. They were crying and they were just telling me to please be quiet, please be quiet. And then they had me like kneeling in the corner, like trying to hide me. It was like completely quiet. Like you heard like whimpers like from other people that were scared around there. And then a man comes in screaming, you know, where is she? Where is she? he came and the girls were like all around me, just still trying to hide me. And he came and grabbed me, like right, like a rag doll, like right off the floor, and then dragged me in the car, in the front seat with him. So he had me in the passenger seat with him. He dragged me along, yeah, because it was like all the way in the back of the building. He had me like by my stomach, like lifting me up, like my feet were off the floor and I was like trying to get away. He kept holding me tighter and I was like trying to free up his arms from holding me so tight. I know I was scratching him and trying to like free myself from his arm. And he was a big guy, so I mean, and I'm nothing but 95 pounds. And you know, he just had me like a ragdoll. So when he threw me in the truck, he kept holding me, and then I was like, if anything, I'm gonna jump out this window. I don't care, he's not gonna drag me. I'm not gonna go with him. You see tons of SUVs, and I'm like, the only thing that can happen to me is that's it. You know, this is the end. I was like kicking the front of the dashboard, just trying to like free myself out the window, and he was like grabbing me, and I was just like, I'm gonna fly out this window and I don't care what happens to me. He was screaming at me. He's like, sit down. So he really took me and like was just holding me with all his might. And you know, he was just holding me by my stomach, and like I felt my ribs like caving in. That's how hard he was holding me in. It was just so many things were going through my head that time. I didn't know what was gonna become of any of us. And I wasn't in the same truck as Peter. So I was even more scared. I didn't have him there. Jay wasn't there, Valerie wasn't there. So I was like, I'm here by myself. So that's why I was like, Charlie, I was like, I'm gonna jump out this fucking window.
My fucking heart just broke when I seen them walking out with Viv, kicking and screaming, holding and fucking, she's fighting with all her might and kicking and yelling. And they put her in the SUV, and I see her in the front seat of the SUV, and they take off, like they're putting us in the trucks and like, let's go. I remember that I'm handcuffed and I'm looking like out the window, I could see her like climbing out the window of the front of the truck while it's going 40, 50 miles an hour. So horrible. Just thinking the worst.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When we were getting ushered into a truck and had been thrown in the middle of the console, there's a little guy. And he's like, you know, screaming, shouting, you know. All these thoughts are going through my head, like, what's going on? He's like, all right, I got you now, motherfuckers. In English. And I said, huh? And he's like, oh, I got you now, motherfucker. You are fucked. You're going back to the U.S. There's an agent, me, Hank, Val, Peter, another agent, and the driver, and another agent, right, in the front. I remember him getting on the phone, and he said, Tom. It was an American name. And he's like calling, and I hear him. I'm right next to him. He's like, I got them. I got them. I got the Flores twins. Call me back. Instantly, I go into like, no, don't call him. Don't call him. We could fix this. We could fix this. Like, don't call him. There's no room, so I'm kind of leaning over, and I'm talking to the driver, and he's like, he starts talking to me, shut the fuck up with that bullshit. You know, I was saying, let's fix this in Spanish. I'm like, let's fix. Like, we could fix it. Whatever you do, don't take us to the station. We could fix it. I could pay you. And he said, oh, yeah, like you fucking paid me, motherfucker. And he takes the mask off. I had never seen him. And I'm like, who are you? And then he just sees his face. And I looked up here, he said, that's dude. The custom agent that had tried extorting us prior before.
From Pete and Viviana's wedding.
Wedding. And I was like, oh, shit. So instantly, he said, you're going to go back to the fucking U.S. for the rest of your life, motherfuckers.
Oh,
so
screaming, like,
she's screaming, so.
I'll give you, like, well, we have money, like, we'll pay you, like, yeah, whatever you want. We'll give you $10 million, like, whatever you want, just let us go.
So Val was a little bit frightened, hysterical. Like, she was, like, screaming. It was a lot of commotion.
A lot of commotion, yeah.
It was a lot of commotion. So my brother, I remember him being a little bit quiet. I started talking to the driver. He's driving. And I started telling him, I could pay you. Listen to me. I could pay you. And he's like, oh. Just chill out, because commotion, we'll talk when we get to the station.
I just felt like it was our only opportunity to try to get out of it, and I wasn't sure the way he was talking. I didn't know if we were being kidnapped. I didn't know if we were being taken. I don't know what the situation was, if they were going to try to extradite them back to the U.S. because they really were calling the DEA. So I didn't know, like, what the play was.
I didn't know who they were calling, but we did know that they were calling someone. It turns out they were calling the U.S. Marshals. I guess they already kind of reported us. So he had a direct number with whatever agent was in charge. I think it's happened to me a lot where it's unexplainable, where I go from being fearful and not knowing what to do. I go into like survival mode. My survival mode is more like fix it.
I could hear my brother telling him over and over and over to fix it. I'm kind of worried that he's saying that. I'm fearful that he's saying too much. Don't walk us into a bigger problem. You know, because we weren't aware of exactly, you know, who was there. But my brother felt confident that he stepped up a little bit and was like demanding that they listen. They were like, shut the fuck up. I remember them telling him, look, kid, like, you can't back up what you're saying, so just stop. They drove it wrong, but you don't understand the relief I felt when I seen them pull into the police station, like into the federal police office station. I was like, man, maybe they are real cops. Yeah, like, she's gonna be okay. Like, the girls are gonna be okay.
They take us to the station, like the Attorney General's office, but they're like, you know, they're feds, right? They take us to these offices. It's not what you think. They got like couches, like old couches, and a desk. And there's all these agents, like literally, you know, still with AKs, and they don't even search us. They sit us down. It was Vivi, Peter, Val, and me. And the rest of the couches were our associates. Another couches, they're freaking out. They were in another car. They didn't travel with us. They're like pale, like nervous, scared. What's going on? What's going on? I'm just like, really? Like, what's going on? Like, we're in handcuffs. They have guns to us. Some of them have ski masks. A couple of them take it off. And they got bulletproof vests on, geared up radios, but they're in regular clothes. I'm more concentrated on Val and Peter and Vivi. Like, it was like, wow. You're sitting there like, this is gonna be our life. That's it. It's over. It was hard seeing Val. I guess her realizing it too. And even stuff like crying, like, you know, I think I was more mad at myself that I put my wife in that situation. And it was taking me a little while to process, but once I started to process what my life was gonna be, yeah, it wasn't a good feeling. And the one thing that was the problem was that period of time, I don't wanna exaggerate either, but I wanna tell you that I probably owed like $130 million. I had $130 million worth of drugs. That I owed to the cartel. It's because it's a big process. In order for us to keep our business going in the States, and the way we handled it was that we always wanted to be consistent, it was a supply chain. It was a supply chain that we needed, like, to have drugs in Chicago, have drugs out, have drugs on the way, have drugs in LA, Mexico, on the border. It's a supply chain, and it takes a lot of money. You know, we're thinking of plan B.
And the whole time, Peter's like, Val, this is who owes us money. And he starts going down the list.
He starts
like, repeat. So I have to go down the list, and he gave me like 20 names. Okay, this person owes 10 million, this person owes 8 million, this person owes 6 million. Going down the list. And Vivi's distraught, and I'm just taking it in, and I'm just trying to remember everybody that owes money, because I know at that point that if they don't pay the cartel what they owe them, then they're basically gonna, you know, their family is their insurance. So if they're not paid, what happens is that the cartel will come kill our whole family.
He's saying that to her, and I'm basically giving her like advice, like, do not trust anyone. Call this person, you're gonna say this. Speak them from afar, whatever the case is. Like, giving her those tips.
Tell them that we've been locked up just because a lot of people, they don't wanna play it dead when they know that.
Tell who?
Their customers,
whoever owes money. Mm-hmm. Like, don't tell them that we're locked up, because if that happens, they're not gonna wanna pay.
I'm seeing my brother, like, I'm a little bit emotional, like, wow. At that time, I don't even know that you're pregnant, huh?
No, I didn't know I was pregnant. I was super emotional. I think I was just trying to process everything. I wasn't sure, like, okay, are they going to do something to us? Have we been taken? Are we kidnapped? Are they really extraditing them to the U.S.? Are they bullshitting us? Like, I wasn't sure, like, what the play was. But when I started seeing Peter telling Baby goodbye and, like, she's going to go back to the States and he's, like, saying goodbye to her, I'm like, what's happening? And I'm looking at Jay, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to take you. They're going to take you back and you're never going to get out of prison.
I think who me and my brother are, it was important for us to tell them we're basically going to say goodbye. Thinking about prison, we knew it was going to be easy. We know what that life carries in. Part of that is your relationship, right? I think in being in that situation, like seeing them and like seeing Val get a little bit emotional, but she's trying to hold it together, still listening, because my brother's in between trying to console Vivi and still.
Like drilling me.
Did he see you as that person? Because yeah. He wasn't saying that to Vivi, he was saying it to you.
He was just drilling it in my head. And I was just like trying to take it all in. And I was still trying to like understand and still talk to Jay because he's telling me, you know, you're going to be okay.
So there's a bunch of agents. And while this is going on, you know, I was just like, if I'm fucked, I'm fucked. Like, I'm not going to give up. I said, listen. I told you, I need to talk to you. It's important that I talk to you. He said, talk to me. He's, you know, holding the AK. He's holding. I said, who's the one in charge? Tell him I need to talk to him. Call him. I'm like literally pressing him. I don't shut up. Call him. Who's the guy in charge? Who's the guy in charge? He finally says, what the fuck do you want? Here comes this agent. What the fuck do you want? I said, I need to talk to you. It's important. He said, what do you need to talk to me about? I said, I want to talk to you about this stupid motherfucker that tried extorting us. We gave him, you know, $1 million or, you know, whatever. He said, what? He said, come here. He stood me up and took me in the back. I see the guy, he's outside the office, walking back and forth, pacing, looking down. He sees me talking to him and he stops and just staring at me. I said, he came, he found out who we were, he tried extorting, we paid him. But he didn't come right. So why would I keep paying him? And he's like, so how much did you give him? I'm like, I gave him like $1 million. When? You know, now he's feeling betrayed because in Mexico, if you pay someone, that has to be splitting up. And he didn't do that. So he's like, where the fuck did you get $1 million? And I said, listen, I need to like tell you something. I work for Chapo, Mayo, and Arturo Beltran. He said, get the fuck out of here. He got so mad at me. He's like, you are stupid. Like, he's calling me names. Not he said, you're like, you stupid motherfucker. You're probably a fucking gangbanger from the U.S. who killed some innocent person. We send people back like you all the time. I said, listen, make the call. Make the call. Tell him that you have the twins. Make the call. He's like, nah. I said, listen, how much do you want? How much do you want? I need you to let us go. And he's like, he's just staring at me. He said, you know what? Go back and sit down. You know, it's in a different room, like down the hallway. So they take me back. And they sent me back down. And I'm like, hold on. I said, hold on. I'm gonna try to fix this. I'm gonna try to fix this. He's like, bro, spend the time with Val. I'm like, I'm not giving up. I'm not gonna give up. Now I'm starting to talk to the other agents. I'll pay all of you $1 million. You know, it's one thing for them to be able to walk away, but it's one thing for them to hear $1 million. Like, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, of course, right? I don't fit the profile of what a narco looks like, so they're not believing. They come get me again. He comes gets me again. He says, okay. He said, how much money do you, if it's like that, how much money do you have? I said, I'll give you $1 million. It's not going to work that way, he said.
Just to clarify, the he you're talking to and negotiating
is, I guess, the guy in charge of the agents. So he takes me to the bank, like, how much money do you have? And I'm kind of telling him, I'll pay you $1 million. Let me go, you know. It kind of went from $1 million to three to five. So I said, listen, man, how much do you want? I'll give you $10 million, but you have to let me go. He's like, you think I'm stupid? You're telling me $10 million? I'm like, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm the biggest drug distributor for the Sinaloa cartel. And he said, you got to stop bullshitting me. And I said, I'm not bullshitting you. They told me I was crazy. Shut the fuck up. You know, I kept insisting, like, I'm the biggest distributor. I owe them more money than your life is worth. Those were my threats, so think about what I'm telling you. Whatever happens to me, you're responsible for. I said, make the call. He said, how much money are you willing to give for your family, for your wife, and all your associates? You got $10 million for them? Listen, you have no way out. They're coming for you, the U.S. Marshals. I said, how much do you want? He said, I want $1 million for them, and you have to get it to me. I was more worried about, you know, as I was opening my mouth, I'm giving them more information, which is kind of could be used against me, not in the court of law, in the criminal world, like. And I said, I need to make the phone call. He kind of thought twice. And he said, let me ask you a question. If you're so important, like you said you are, why didn't you check in? I explained to him, I said, I didn't check in with you because I didn't want to burn myself out. I'm not in that situation. And he said, okay, well, where do you meet Chapo Mayo? And I said, where do you meet him? Where are they at? And I said, if I get out of this one, I'll make sure I let him know that you asked me so you could go meet him yourself. And he was like, who else do you know? I didn't think about that at that time. I'm like, wow, who's doing that? So I know everyone. Everyone who's important. The problem is that when you're in the situation I'm in, I know all the bosses, which probably most of the public knows if you're a nobody, which was easy for me to say, but I was telling the truth. So I had to sit there and just think. I said, hold on, give me a second. Let me think. I start saying names. It hit me. I said, I know who's in charge here. He said, who? I said, Mencho. That got their attention. He said, you know Mencho? I said, I don't know him, but he knows me. Call. But they're not looking at me the same anymore. They're looking at me a little bit frightened, a little bit scared. That kind of gave me a little bit more of a, like, confidence. Call Mencho, I'm telling him. Now my voice changes. Make the call. They're like, go sit down.
During those moments where we're sitting there, there's a lot of back and forth, you know, but those moments we were going through intimate conversations, we're handcuffed together. I was scared. There's a lot of time ahead of me. I remember Jay still pleading with him, and he's so concerned about, you know, Valerie's situation that he's just pleading with him. Finally, like, I hear them, they come and they change their tone. I remember them saying, like, who the fuck did you call? Like, they were, like, looking at each other. And they had this, like, what the fuck did we just do, look on their face. And I don't know what they said, but when that immigration officer heard that, he was like, gone. He was like, what the fuck, right? That's it, he was gone. And they took stuff from the girl, like their purses and wallets. They steal, that's what they do, yeah. I could see his face, like them telling him something that we could see him like through the glass, like outside. And it was Sunday morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I could see that when they started getting worried, but they're still, like, talking to my brother and me, like, a little different. At that moment, I really felt like, yeah, all this is bullshit. We ain't gonna get out of this one.
I want you to mention that Jay was, like, really persistent.
He insisted, like, he didn't give up.
He didn't give up. Jay did not give up. And
I guess those moments when you got shit to lose, like, offer him whatever the fuck you have to, you know, as long as it doesn't happen. And I think that those thoughts must have hit home hard when my brother was offering him that much money and they weren't listening.
They're like, well, listen, we decided that we're not going to make a call because it's too late for you. At that moment, his phone starts ringing. And Charlie, if I tell you that when his phone rang and he looked at it and looked at me, I knew. I had a feeling. Just that intuition, just maybe his feeling, how he looked at me a little bit nervous. And he answers, bueno, like, hello. Nice though. And he says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He turns and he's like, uh-huh, yes. Yeah, that's the case. He turns and looks at me and he's like, motherfucker. He pointed at me, you motherfucker. He told me like that with anger. And I just looked at him. He walked away. I could hear him what I would call kissing ass on the phone. And he comes back, like, yes, sir. He's right here. Puts the phone to my ear.
Hello?
I said, hello.
Twin, is this you?
I said, yes, sir.
I'm the secretary.
He said,
your dad's listening.
That's what they say. That's a nickname, too. Chapo. They're listening.
Who's your friend?
And I give him the name of one of my closest friends. And I just said, Musico. He said,
okay, we're on the right page.
Then I hear Arturo Bertan.
What the fuck did you get yourself into? What did you get yourself into? Why are you there?
I'm like, sir, like, it's a long story. He says,
why are you offering them so much money?
Because they wouldn't take a little bit.
No, don't do that. Stop offering them money. Stop offering them money.
He said,
who's with you?
My brother.
Your twin brother?
Yes.
What the fuck are you guys doing together?
I'm just, like, kind of quiet.
Who else?
Our wives.
Your wives aren't there with... I'm disappointed. I'm so fucking disappointed that you got yourself into this mess.
I said, sir, if you don't mind, can we talk about this later? And he said,
I'm gonna make some calls.
He said,
your uncle might know. So everyone's calling. Whatever you do, I want you to know something. You're the fucking boss there. You are the boss. And stop offering them money. Keep this phone.
Yes, sir. Okay. They're putting the phone to my ear, so I'm like, you know, listen. You want to talk to him? Yes. Put him on the phone. Now, I could hear that it's the secretary. Like, there's someone on speaker, and I'm talking to whoever's passing the phone. And they said something to him. And he hangs up the phone. He comes to me, and he looks at me and says, take these fucking handcuffs off me.
You said that.
I said, take these fucking handcuffs off me. And he's like, take them off. And I said, give me the phone. I need your phone. He gives me the phone. I said, listen, this is what we're going to do.
said, you're going to let our wives go. Me and my brother are going to stay. And you're going to let them take the cars, you're going to let them go, and they're going to go without a problem. Then I need some aspirin. And he's like, okay.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
I come back and Val and everybody looks at me. I said, come on, get up, let's go. And, you know, those just are like half sleeping, half like, what? Come on, get up, let's go. Now, all the other, you know, federales are like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? It was very emotional. Val didn't want to leave. She started screaming, I'm not leaving you. I'm not going. That really pissed me off. Stop messing around. You better get the fuck out of here right now. You go back to the house. You get the fuck out of there as soon as you can before they change their mind. And, you know, one of our close friends who was an associate of ours, he was like, wait, hold on, like, what? I'm like, just go, make sure they make it back safely, just go. And he was like, man, gee, I don't want to leave you. It's not up to you. And my brother was like, what? Like, Peter's confused, you know, like, what's going on? It was hard saying goodbye to him. Again. I felt like I said goodbye to him too many times, and every time it was like a real moment of who knows what's gonna happen. And it's weird because, like, if this was Hollywood, you can't keep saying the same thing. You're not gonna say goodbye 10 times. Since this is real life and this is our life, we said it plenty of times, and it was for real life and death situations. I feel like we didn't have to say much. I think it was more emotional. And I just said, you know, just be careful, remember. Just don't trust nobody. I said, call attorneys.
was incredible.
One of the most emotional hugs ever, and kind of saying goodbye. Because you just don't know what's going to happen. It's a weird feeling. You're saying goodbye for a good reason. And this might be it.
Viviana, I could see she was scared this time. Because she was like, no, I don't want to leave. But like, I have to leave. I have to leave. Like when she was able to walk on, I knew that she was okay. Like, I felt like a sense of relief.
It was early morning, so, you know, you felt that warm, human Vallarta feeling. Like the sun was super bright, and Valerie and I, we jumped in a truck. We drove straight to the house. We were just, you know, worried for what was going to come next. When I left Peter, I thought that he was going to go to jail. I thought that they were going to send him back to the U.S.
They brought me my aspirin with some water. I sat down back in the couch and I just kind of filled my brother in what had just happened. And they were walking, pacing back and forth a little bit nervously. I seen them start to like put on their gear. They're putting on their gear in front of us. They're putting extra, like they're putting their bulletproof vest. They're putting extra clips on their vest, fixing up their handgun, doing all this stuff. They said, we're not safe here. We have to go. And by then, you know, I'm starting to receive phone calls from different people. To be honest, I don't even know who's calling me. I just know that, like, are you okay? Are you okay? We're trying to do whatever we could do. At one point, I get a call from one of the lieutenants from Miles' side of the organization, and they told me that one of the top lieutenants, who was a business associate of ours, was getting a plane ready with $5 million. As a bribe. And he said, they have it in Juarez and it's getting ready to take off. Hopefully they'll accept it as an exchange and you guys jump on a plane. But we have to beat the marshals to the airport because they're on the flight.
The cartel's plane was spinning up, ready to fly in and collect the twins at the last second. But they had to beat the US marshals, who were already in the country.
The problem is that they called the marshals. And the marshals are going from Mexico City en route.
The flight time from Juarez and the flight time from Mexico City are an identical 3 hours. The twins' only hope was that the cartel got to them before the marshals did.
He said,
you know, we're going to do whatever we can. We're still trying to work things out.
The way he put it, like it's going to take a little muscle.
We're going to try to work this out. Just stay calm. Are you okay? Did they hurt you?
No.
Okay. Did they let your family go?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot of those calls. You know, the phone's going to be ringing constantly. The federal agents decide to move us from the office into these bulletproof trucks and decide to just ride around the town, I guess. Just in case the cartel couldn't find where they were at. We jump in the truck, it's bulletproof. It's two agents in the front. It's an agent, you know, from the driver's side, me, my brother, two agents.
And are you both not handcuffed anymore?
No, we're not handcuffed. I have the phone. We're emotional at times, like I could see my brother. He's quiet. We're talking a little bit in English, right? Not loud, but I'm kind of just updating him as the phone rings. We start driving around more into like a lower class neighborhoods. And I'm listening to them have conversations. And in between, my brother's talking to them. We used to live here. recapping the story about what happened with the customs agent. Just trying to make him understand why we didn't get to that point where we were calling him or reporting with him. I get a call. It's Musico, one of the top lieutenants. And he's like,
"No, I need to talk to you. It's going to be important."
He said,
"It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And everybody called for you. Listen, I'm calling you because my dad said that they got like 80 or 100 men ready to come get you and your brother. But we're going to leave that decision for you and your brother because there's a chance that you might not make it out alive if we go get you. Whatever you decide, we're going to support. But if you want to know what I think, you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison anyway.
I'm sitting next to federal agents with guns. He said,
"So I'm going to ask you a question, and I just want you to tell me yes or no. Do you green light for us to go get you? Before you answer, talk to your brother."
I look at my phone and see my brother. He doesn't look good. And I said,
"Yes."
Surviving El Chapo, the twins who brought down a drug lord, is hosted by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and me, Charlie Webster. Our producers are myself alongside Jackson McLennan. Research and editorial support is from Casey Hurst. Edit and sound design by Nico Palella. Original score by Ryan Sorensen. Executive produced by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and myself, Charlie Webster. If you'd like to know more about this story, head over to lionsgatesound.com. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson presents a Lionsgate Sound and G-Unit audio production exclusively for iHeart Podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.